Welcome to 167 Hours Beyond Sunday, a companion podcast to the sermons of Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee, where we try to go beyond the message and talk about what life looks like in the 167 hours we're not in church a week. I'm your host, my name's Ryan Evans, and today I am joined by our women's and music minister, Timpa Bader. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
You know, we were just talking about the weather. It's kind of, we've entered into the gloomy season. listeners, I don't know about you. I feel like, seriously, I have to make like a concerted effort sometimes not to be depressed. It's like it's dark at 5. It's gloomy and cloudy. It's cold.
I do too. But yeah.
Well, I'm glad I could start us off on such a positive note. Can you believe Christmas is only like 2.5 weeks away?
Yeah, I heard somebody say something about how many days this morning, and I had almost a panic moment because I haven't bought any Christmas presents yet. So, yeah. And it was, you know, other past years, it's been because maybe I was way too busy with all the different programs and activities. So I haven't not got that excuse this time. I don't know what my excuse is this time, but
I know for us, we were like debating, like, should we get gifts? We don't even know if we get to go home to Kentucky this year. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been figuring all that, and it's been a mess. And listeners, I know that it's probably been a mess with some of you and your families, and we're all trying to figure out how to like love each other and celebrate the, you know, the birth of Christ in this season and figure it all out. But it certainly has been weird. Yeah, we didn't, I think we typically do all our shopping online anyways, but yeah, I think we did it like this last weekend.
Okay.
So you're not too...
That's a whole other topic, but yeah, I kind of like to try to support local businesses, but I have done some online things in the past, and when I realize how easy it is, although I've had some boo-boos as far as things that come in the mail and it's not right, so you know.
So just out of curiosity, just because I don't even know, like, what are some good local businesses that like sell things in the area? Because like I would just go to Walmart probably, which is the same thing.
Well, that's true, but it is employing local people. Well, you can go, if you want to talk about small businesses, it's like we got the gift box down the road here that owned by one of our members.
Uh-huh.
And, I saw that Still Waters is offering some gifts. I don't know what kind of gifts they offer, but they had a thing on social media.
Yeah, certainly would be a good thing for the community to do like gift cards and gift certificates to like, especially like restaurants and things right now that are probably surely have taken a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on a much lighter note.
Okay.
I am very curious, and this is always a fun thing for me to find out, what was your favorite gift that you received on Christmas as a child?
Okay. I was with my family this week, this weekend, and I started asking them about that. I couldn't necessarily think of a favorite, but I have a memorable one, and I'll try not to make this too long, but when I was about eight, my mom still wanted to give me baby dolls. I think that just made her happy to give me a baby doll every Christmas. So she, and at being a little kid, and believe it or not, I can remember this from being eight, hearing some conversation, you know, that I probably wasn't meant to hear. But my grandmother, her mother, wanted to give me a Chatty Cathy doll. Do you know what a Chatty Cathy is?
I do not know.
Well, it came out that year, and it was one of those that you pull the string in the back, and it talked.
Yeah.
It was the newest, greatest thing, you know. And my mom was not happy about that. She didn't want her doll to compete with my grandmother's doll for my affection. So but my grandmother got me the doll anyway. And you know what? I did like it better than the baby doll. I hate to say that, but
so your mom was right.
It was a competition that, you know, and again, I don't know that I would have ever known that, but I heard little ears pick up things. So remember that.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I I think as a kid, it's, you know, it's your responsibility to eavesdrop and discover as much as you possibly can.
Exactly.
Before to be nosy, Christmas morning.
Anyway, I found that out, but I couldn't help it. I love Chatty Cathy. And several people out there will remember Chatty Cathy, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was trying to think about what my favorite Christmas gift as a kid was. And I think it's going to either come down to there was a Super Nintendo game that I really liked. And I'm just going to get super nerd. It's a game called Mega Man X. I'm sure you know about as well as I know Chatty Cathy.
Yeah. Well, my kids they're a little bit older than you, but they mentioned Nintendo, and they mentioned, of course, bicycles. Everybody loves their first bicycle, and you know, a few things like that. But yeah,
you know, the lamest thing for me, though, especially, so my parents are divorced, so two Christmases, well, actually several more Christmases, honestly. That's the best part of the divorce, you know, on top of all the other bad things. But like when I would open presents at my dad's, I had a younger brother, a younger stepbrother who was only like 6 months younger than me. We would always get the same presents.
Yeah.
But he was younger than me, so he would always open his up first.
So you had no surprises.
It kind of ruined the experience for me. Except it was like, oh, sweet, that's what I get in 5 seconds. But, oh, goodness. So before we get into the sermon, this upcoming Sunday, Making Spirits Bright is happening. It's an event hosted by the Music Ministry. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it's going
to
be like?
Sure. Well, to start with, back in September, the choir got together with masks and sitting outside to try to decide how we could still have a purpose and a reason to gather or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we brainstormed, and we had a whole whiteboard of things that possibilities, and mm-hmm. most of them got nixed.
Yeah.
But this program, which is like some of the past cabarets we've had, where individuals present their talents, whether they're singing or playing an instrument, doing some comedy. If you were at the last cabaret about 3 years ago, you might remember that we were visited by the Russian elf, and he was hilarious.
I do remember the Russian elf.
He's going to make a return. So anyway, that was a way we thought we could, it'll be exactly like a worship service as far as protocols go, as mm-hmm. far the way seating goes, making registration or doing registrations. And so we are counting on it being a safe event, but you know, everybody needs their spirits to be lifted. You know, some years, you know, it happens many years, but especially this year, I feel like this will be a way to lift some spirits, have some laughs, but we're going to also end with the story of Jesus' birth and center our hearts and our minds on why we celebrate the season. So I think it'll be an enjoyable evening.
Yeah, I think it'll
very
be
very casual.
And I think it's smart the way you are doing it, too, to have smaller groups doing different acts instead of getting everyone, you know, all the different things that we used to never have to think about.
Right.
You know, 2020, the year of annoying rules. That's
Well, yeah, there's some families performing together, and they're I think it'll be neat. And there's children as well. Some King's kids are performing, and everybody's practiced on their own, you know, so it's like last night we had a individuals come and run through it kind of roughly. And, but I think it'll be heartwarming.
Yeah.
So we invite you to register, go to our website or something. I'm not sure. How do we do that, Ryan? I know Robin sends out little emails that says you can register. So
be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
Or if you have questions, you can call us and ask.
And
when we're not on the podcast recording, because we can actually find the answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can even call Robin in the office and she can write you down too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the big theme of this last Sunday was peace. And Curtis took the time to introduce us to the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. Now, I'm just going to say this, spoiler alert. I love the concept of shalom. It's something that I just learned about in the last couple of years. So I'm going to do my best not to talk too much today, but I'm probably going to throw some stuff in.
And that's perfectly all right.
Thank you. So, Timpa, how does knowing what shalom means, the Hebrew word, kind of change how you understand peace?
Well, honestly, I don't know that I knew. I've always known that in the Hebrew world, even today, they greet each other with shalom and that it meant peace. I think maybe yesterday was the first time I knew the background. It's kind of like in the Bible when it says be perfect, you know, and using that word perfect, and people go, oh, perfect? I can't be perfect.
Yeah.
And when honestly, the Greek means so much more than what our English word means. So, of course, this is a Hebrew word, and it just means so much more than just peace. And so, you know, I think it makes it way more meaningful, way more, you know, multifaceted or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I think for me, when I thought of peace, before I understood the concept of shalom, it was very much just like the absence of conflict right. would probably be the best way I would describe peace.
Yeah.
But that's not what shalom is.
No, it's, you know, and we think about peace as being peace and quiet
mm-hmm.
or sleep and heavenly peace.
Mm-hmm.
Or we, I think, a mother with lots of children, the peace means you're just, they're in bed.
A moment of quiet.
Yeah, just being quiet. So that, whereas that can be, that's pretty temporary though, I guess.
Yeah. Is,
and
we're,
I think when I
sleep training our daughter right now, by the way. So that moment of peace and quiet.
Right.
It's not screaming.
Kind of special. But it's temporary. And so this expanded meaning to make things whole and restored and put broken parts back together to reconcile, that is so much more eternal.
Yeah. It's also a lot more involved. For me, like, my biggest thing is if I am at odds with someone, I don't have peace by avoiding that person.
Yeah.
Which is not fun. Like,
well, you know, and that, I,
that's
I'm
hard.
Kind of a,
like,
I don't know if I'm more like this than you are, but I tend to avoid conflict and stick my head in the sand, and I don't know. I just avoid at all costs, which is not, that's not about peace though either. You're right. It's not what peace is meant to.
Yeah.
Peace is meant to be a little bit of work, not just a.
Yeah. The idea is if you're going to have shalom, that means you would have to resolve the issue, restore the relationship, which I don't think a lot of us want to hear.
Yeah.
Like, I know I don't always want to do that. I'm a crazy person. Like, through and through, you've witnessed this on me. I used to avoid conflict, but because I experienced a couple of times where doing that made the problem worse, I'm now so scared of the problem getting worse that I will sometimes address issues that don't even need to be addressed. I'm that person that will have a tense conversation and then text you later that night, like, hey, I said this, and I think I might have said it a little meanly.
I admit I've done that too. I've said things that I went home and then grieved about it, and where people were either gracious enough to lie and say they didn't even notice,
yeah.
or sometimes people have said, thank you, I'm glad mm-hmm. that you apologized for that. So it is better, and you sleep a lot better,
yeah,
instead of letting it just hang out there and
mm-hmm.
be a sore spot.
Yeah, and you know, another aspect of this that we don't talk about a whole lot is, I think I'm cheating. We'll get to this here in a little bit. I almost went ahead before I meant to, but yeah, wholeness, restoring things, bringing things back together. So Curtis, this last Sunday, he talked about it. He actually mentioned three different types of peace or three different types of shalom for us to pursue. So I just want to spend some time talking about each one. And kind of what it means in your life and potentially what it means in my life and for all of us. So the first one was simply peace with God. And now I'm tempted to just kind of talk about this theologically for a second.
I'm going to say that is God's work in our life and mm-hmm. our obligation to, not obligation, but our ability to accept that work for ourselves. You know, when the only way we can have peace with God is to accept his gift of Jesus dying yeah. on the cross. And it does take an effort on our part in that we got to reach out and accept it. But it means that when we have peace with God, that also involves trust,
yeah.
trusting him that we can accept circumstances. We can accept mm-hmm. things that don't seem fair. We can accept things that maybe even hurt us, just trusting that God has it.
Yeah.
And that he knows what's best. And because we're his child, he will never do anything that will ultimately hurt us.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus is shalom personified. God reaching down, loving us, and setting an incredible example for us in how we interact with others. Because, you know, you use the word fair. And we've mm-hmm. talked about this before, I think, on this podcast, and maybe just you and I, but you know, whenever I hear someone that's having a conflict with someone and they say, well, it's just not fair for me to
actually, my last communion meditation was about fair.
Maybe that's where I heard it.
Saying that's not fair. And there, this week, and there have been a lot more people than this, but I have had four people close to me lose loved ones. And a couple of those people I knew myself. And and it doesn't seem fair, you know, it doesn't seem like, how can this be and how can I accept this? And I think the only way we can do it is because, the only way we can have peace about it is because we have God's peace that we're promised.
Yeah, I said this to you, I think the other day, but there have been a few times in this season that I have prayed that God will give me the peace that transcends understanding. Mm-hmm. Because I've tried to get peace through understanding, and that has not worked.
Well, actually, I texted that verse to a very good friend of mine this morning.
Yeah.
Who lost her mom, and I know they don't understand.
Yeah. And thank goodness we have the hope of Jesus, and that we have the hope of that sacrifice that gave us that shalom with God, that we have this hope for life beyond death. So, you know, what's funny is when we were talking about this podcast, I think that was the one that we were like, I don't know if we have a whole lot to talk about that. That seems so obvious.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I think it struck a chord with both of us when we were honest about it.
And I'm looking down the next one. I just now took over for you. I'm sorry.
No, please make my life so much easier.
I just was thinking, okay, we have peace with God by accepting salvation. Mm-hmm. And that's what leads to the peace within. Mm-hmm. I guess I was talking more about the peace within because we can trust God and we can trust that He knows better than we do.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of a, like, maybe like, you know, symptoms of issues. Whenever we don't have inner peace or inner shalom or inner, like, it's probably symptomatic of a something like a trust issue or something like a, Megan and I speak very openly and honestly with each other. And sometimes we'll like ask each other that, like, well, if you trust God, should that be bothering you? And I know that that's an oversimplification of things sometimes, but there's something to that. I think something Curtis said in his sermon, you know, peace is an inward confidence that doesn't depend on the ever changing circumstances of life. This confidence is rooted in the belief that God is in control of all circumstances. It is knowing that through our circumstances circumstances constantly change, God doesn't. He is faithful and good all the time.
Yeah, I wrote down, actually, I wrote Jesus, I don't think he said this, but it made me think of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that goes with God too, you know, he doesn't change and he's faithful and in control. And I remember in bad circumstances of my life, I just over and over repeat, God is in control. Mm-hmm. God is in control. And that is definitely a trust issue, but it does bring peace. It doesn't mean that you don't maybe have a little clench in your chest from your heart, just, you know, feeling broken or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily change the feelings, but it gives you, lets you know that you're rooted and that you're sitting on a rock. You know?
Yeah. And you know, I talked about this a little bit with Larry when I had a counselor in the room. I was like, let's talk about this. Sometimes we think that feelings are a bad thing or emotions are a bad thing, but often the best thing we can do is accept them and process them and let them happen. Mm-hmm. When I know one of the things I'm guilty of often is I will feel angry or I will feel sad and I'll feel guilty that I'm feeling those things. So I'll deny them, which means I don't process them. Yeah.
Well, you know what I feel guilty about sometimes is not worrying. Sometimes when I get to the place that, okay, God's got this, God's in control. And then I don't worry. I have to think, oh my goodness, maybe I should be worrying. Maybe I'm being an ostrich again, sticking my head in the sand. And so I have to.
Certainly there's balance to everything. You know, there's another aspect of this that I really do want to hit on is, you know, I think there is something about that peace with God. But a part of shalom or wholeness, in Jewish culture is actually is a self-healthiness. Or a self-healthiness, So I think, you know, when I talk about this with students, you know, one of the things we'll do sometimes, I think I put this in the Advent devotional. It's a silly activity, but I do think it's worthwhile. I do Shalom acronyms with myself and with the students, and I put one in the book where it's like, make Shalom an acronym for you to be a whole happy, healthy person. What do you need? Mm-hmm. What do you need to do? Like, what are the things that you're missing? What are, you know, and I think that it is important for us to also recognize that sometimes when things are off kilter, we need to look within. Like, you know, one of my temptations often is to assume that the problem is everyone around me. And then I realize it's not their fault. It's my attitude, mm-hmm. or the way I'm seeing things. You know, it's easy to be frustrated. It's hard to be helpful. It's hard to self-assess and really recognize that it is worth taking the time to look at yourself and say, is this actually wrong or is my attitude wrong? Which we're going to, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about this Sunday because I'm preaching. Okay. So
you're practicing right now, right?
I'm tempted to give stuff away, but I won't.
Okay.
That's next week's podcast, which by the way, I think Ryan Hughes and Curtis Boer are going to be on next
together?
Week.
Together?
That's right.
A double whammy?
Ryan's going to host in my stead because I thought it'd be weird for me to host the podcast.
Yeah.
Quizzing someone on my sermon.
Did you get it?
It would be fun to do it to Curtis, though. Mm-hmm. But is there anything else you want to say about Peace Within before we move on to the big mamma jamma coming at the end?
No, I think we're good.
Peace with others, the hard one.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, I didn't know, of course, what Curtis was going to say at the beginning prior to his sermon, but prior to he counted his time, you know.
Yeah.
But I was. He expressed a lot of feelings that I've had, and mm-hmm. There have been people in my life that I thought we would never disagree mm-hmm. that have taken a different stance on things during this time. And of course, all not just COVID, but there was the election, there was Black Lives Matter. There was so many mm-hmm. things that people could be in disagreement about. And I, but especially regarding the church. And I was glad that Curtis was just open and honest because yeah. it's like the monkey or the elephant, not the monkey. It's like the elephant in the room that you try not to talk about. But, you know, when you're in a room that has 65 people, when normally that room had close to, you know.
Yeah, 200, 300. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, something's going on here.
Let's address it. Yeah. And for those of you who weren't here, our church has made the decision to, on the December 27th and January 3rd, to go virtual as a precaution just because of the rising case numbers in our area. And, you know, like every decision we've made this year, it's a hard one. It's a hard one to make. And, you know, we can get into a real discussion about what is right and what is wrong, mm-hmm. but it has been very rarely that simple this year.
Right.
Because everyone has a different opinion about what's right. And a lot of us has been us operating in a season where we don't have all the answers and we don't know exactly how things are going to go. Every time we kind of think we do, we're wrong.
Yeah.
Or, you know, our staff has joked every decision we make, we're 50% right, 50% wrong. But yeah, it's been much beyond that. And Curtis's point in that was, hey, it is okay that we disagree. We are family. I still love you.
Right.
You know, even if that, and I really appreciate him saying this, even if that means you disagree with us enough to go to another church, we still love you and we're happy you're still going to church.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think there is something beautiful about seeing that kind of patience and grace extended from Curtis. But really, that's probably it. Yeah. How we all feel right now.
It's just, you know, if I'm honest, I just have to say it's been heart-wrenching in a mm-hmm. lot of cases. People I've worked closely with to not be here and maybe to be upset, I just, it's been heart-wrenching. And But I would say the same as Curtis. I still love those people and mm-hmm. look forward to hopefully to the day that maybe we all will be back together.
Yeah. You know, like you were saying earlier, it has been a very divisive year. There has been a lot of, it has been made political, even though that's not where it starts. That's symptomatic of our country. Everything becomes a political issue, even though it really, a lot of things probably shouldn't be. At least that's my opinion. It seems like, and it's not just our country, it's Christians seem to have a real issue with pursuing shalom. Because it is okay that we have disagreed on things, all of us collectively as Christians. It is okay that we have disagreed. But there have been several times when the way we have handled that disagreement has been the opposite of shalom. In fact, probably contributed to more division than reconciliation.
And I've been guilty of that. I will confess that too. It's one of those, earlier we were talking about when you say something, then you think about it 30 minutes later, then you're just filled with remorse over something you've said when you didn't really mean it to be hurtful. Your heart just kind of like exploded your mouth, you know?
I've said this in a communion meditation as well. This year has been a collective trauma in some ways. Like we've all lost stuff. Some of us have lost people.
Yeah.
And when you're processing those things, like you're going to feel things and you're going to lash out. Like listeners, our staff has probably had more tense argument type conversations this year than the rest of the time I've been here. And sometimes I'm arguing with myself, like that's the thing. At the end of the day, we all love each other. And I remember there was, and I think maybe you led this conversation. We had a comment conversation in workplace, which is like Facebook for work, where I cried because there was this conversation about how we all just appreciate how we can be vulnerable and disagree and still love each other and feel safe. And that meant so much to me to know that I work on a staff like that. It really did mean, it meant a lot to me. And I don't even know how I got to this. I don't even know why I'm talking about this.
Well, we're talking about peace with others even in the, in closer knit groups, and then expanded groups like the whole congregation, so many, we're so many different kinds of people. And I guess this season has brought out the differences.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to start working on what we have in common and to bring us back together, to restore and bring broken things back together and make things whole again, so that meaning of shalom. I told you right before we started, if it's okay to
bring this up. Please.
I know that most people many people anyway, who are listening probably saw the picture in the paper back in the summer of a Johnson City policeman and a Black Lives Matter protester.
Mm-hmm.
There was a follow-up to mm-hmm. that. They In the paper, it ended up that showed him hugging.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that was all heartwarming and everything, but it went way deeper than that. And mm-hmm. I think it perfectly illustrates shalom, because it took effort for this policeman, who was all in his SWAT gear and all this kind of stuff, looked dangerous, not dangerous, but looked, threatening whatever, and approaching this Black Lives Matter protester, mm-hmm. a young man, that happened to be shirtless. It was in the summer, and mm-hmm. he looked more vulnerable, I guess, because of the policemen all being decked out in his SWAT team stuff. But there was a follow-up to that story where both of them, and if you haven't read it, go back to yesterday's paper or Johnson City Press Sunday. I'm old school. I still read the paper.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can find it online too. But a follow-up to basically how that changed both of their lives.
Yeah.
The policeman talked about how he locked eyes with this young man and saw how hurt and angry and distressed he was, and just made the decision in the moment to go over and talk to him, and how that was true. What he saw in his eyes was true. He was angry, just about to explode with mm-hmm. with emotion, and it was a very tense situation. But what diffused the situation was the policeman reaching out his hand to say, "How can I help you? I recognize how you're feeling. How can I help you?" And ultimately, they ended up hugging. But it has gone on from there, and both of them talked about how that had changed their lives, how the brokenness of that night came together when one of them, when they both ended up being willing to look at the other one, be in the other one's shoes.
Yeah.
It was not just peace. It didn't just diffuse an immediate situation that could have been bad, but it changed the course of this young man's life who was one of the protesters. He's going to join the Marines. He said in the article that from that night on, he decided he wanted to be a better person. He did not want his life to be just a reaction of anger or bitterness, but he wanted to go forward and make a positive difference in the world.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so much better than the first story. You know, the first story was pretty cool how they were able to defuse a fiery situation.
Yeah.
But to realize that it went on from there was definitely an example of shalom.
Well, I actually think that is a beautiful place to end our podcast today. And I would challenge all of us, our listeners and us included, to try to imitate that same form of shalom, to look past the tense and fiery situation, to see past the disagreements, to see past the differences, to see past what, let's be honest, are often mostly misunderstandings, and reach out in a caring, loving, compassionate posture. Forgive, care, love, and move forward and pursue that life-changing shalom that these two gentlemen experienced together. So thank you, Timpa, for the conversation today, and thank you all of you for joining us this week. If you're on iTunes and don't mind, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. And if you want to keep up with all of Crossroads activities, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Find us by searching Crossroads Christian. There are all kinds of content there for adults, kids, and teenagers. But more than all of that, please make the most of the rest of your 167 hours. Have a great week.